I've been hearing for the last week or so. You know, first of all, let me say this. I have not been sleeping very well for, I don't know, it's been since the beginning of this month. Now, is it just, maybe it's just me. Maybe you reach a certain age and you don't sleep anymore. But I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep. Or sometimes, well, I go back. I'm learning now to get more comfortable, go back to sleep. But I keep waking up. And then I start talking to some other people and they said, I'm having the same problem. I must know about 4 or 5 people. And I'm thinking, well, it can't be age or sex or whatever, you know, what I'm referring to, whether you're male or female. It can't be your gender. So what is causing that? And maybe it's these energies that are coming to us. So then I was reading online from a friend of mine who gave me some articles to look at, and they're pointing to September being a huge month for cosmic changes. And I thought, well, I'm going to talk to Jen Howell. Some people are saying September 8th could be like a doomsday type thing. And I don't believe that. But, you know, some of you might be going, oh, my goodness. So I thought I'd bring in Jen. She knows a lot about this. This is what she does. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, TJ?
Great. Good. So what do you think about the sleeping thing?
The sleeping thing, you know, when you asked me that question the other day, I thought it was interesting. I've been having similar issues, and I also know people who have been. Something that I've noticed with myself, which I guess the first time I ever really noticed it was around the solstice this year. I had an entire week where my sleep was totally out of whack. And when I started doing some research, and this does tie into astrology and the current energies at play, that there were a series of really powerful solar flares going on then. And when you have those solar flares and those magnetic storms, I mean, if it interrupts technology as potently as it does, it's kind of like the way the moon would impact the tides and other things here on Earth. Of course, it's going to have an impact on our physical body and our emotions. So sleeplessness is actually very common with solar flares. And we've had a series of solar flares throughout September when I started researching and looking into it. So that's
and one
probably
of those solar
a big
flares,
part.
What effect is that, the main effect they have on us? And is that also part of, you know, when I read these articles, are these waves of energy that are coming to us, are they part of a light that is waking us up in our body and our cells?
I think so. I would point people to Stephen Forrest on this, for an astrologer who's done a lot of writing on solar flares. There's one really great article that he wrote on his website, I believe it's Forrest Astrology, F-O-R-R-E-S-T, astrology.com, where he talks about, if I'm remembering right, the impact of solar flares on Generation X. And on the whole, you know, when we were looking at black rights and things like that and uprisings, solar flares had a big impact on that. And if you think about it, the sun has to do with your core self, your vitality, self-expression. It is the creative force in our solar system. So when that gets ignited, think about what it, I mean, it is like the waking consciousness. So you would be awake more. It's going to have other energetic impacts on your body. Emotional tempers can flare. You know, it's not uncommon that people can have these big bursts of genius insight. You can go from sleepless to having all kinds of, or really tired and exhausted to having all kinds of energy. It's important to get a lot of rest, practice good self-care, and realize that it's just a part of the wave that we are riding. Right
okay.
now.
Cool. Well, that explains it. I figured something was going on that is affecting many of us.
You're not losing your mind. This is a very real phenomenon. Okay. Yes.
So you've looked at this month. I kind of put you on the spot, short notice. You know, some of the statements, they talked about different dates, different things. And I know you've always noticed that too. But we have, like, at the end of the month, what do we have? What kind of eclipse?
There is a lunar eclipse that's coming up this weekend. Eastern time, it is September 27th. That'll be exact, I believe, at 10:47 or 10:50. And this is a lunar eclipse in Aries. So Aries is the sign of the warrior, the independent one, the trailblazer. As a general statement, and we will talk about this maybe a little bit more in depth, it is about finding your own independence, your voice, going your own way. But this is a really important eclipse, although I will add nothing to be frightened about. Like, we've been hearing all these apocalyptic things. Right. I don't see that at all right. in the astrology of now. It is a total eclipse, and it is a supermoon blood moon eclipse. And, you know, the first thing I'll say, a lot of people, they hear blood moon, and that is this imagery that brings up, like, this fear and this terror. And there's nothing to be afraid of with blood moon. I think it would be really intense to watch an eclipse like this. And they say that if you are in an area where the eclipse is visible, the energetic impacts will be more significant on the people in that area. I do believe that there's truth to that. You're receiving the energy perhaps more directly.
And what kind of effect is that different for everybody?
Absolutely, yeah. If you look at individuals' birth charts and how closely an eclipse is impacting sensitive points, whether there are planets at that eclipse degree, whether you have the rising sign or what we call the other angles in the chart, key points that lead to self-expression, living out your life mission, then it would have a more direct impact on some than others.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it probably will affect everybody. I know, you know, law enforcement will always say that they have more crimes mm-hmm. or crazy things that
yes.
go on
yeah.
when there is
yeah.
Those kind of things going on.
And
full
sleep
moon
cycles are always impacted at the full moon too, whether it's an eclipse or not. And I believe they've done studies. I read an article on NPR once where they had this total, you know, this environment where people did not know what the moon cycles were, and there were always disruptions, like just as a, like clockwork. Okay. When the full moon would happen. It happens to me. Does it happen to you? Do you notice?
I really don't pay attention to it.
You just start logging that. It's interesting.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
And I guess just to cycle back to the blood moon phenomenon, there's different times of the year when the moon can be various colors. I've seen the moon be pink before. This picks up as a general statement in the summertime, and it has to do with the way that light particles are filtering through the atmosphere. And whatever other particles like dust or, you know, smoke from pollution or wildfires, the way that that is all interacting. So blood moon is just the sunlight scatters. It's scattered. It passes through the Earth's atmosphere, and it's kind of like watching a sunset. So, you know, it's not like blood, fear.
Right.
There's nothing to be afraid
Vampires,
of.
Vampires, are we going
right,
to wear?
Not at all.
Do I have to wear garlic?
You could if it makes you feel better.
Well, it's actually good for you, garlic. It's actually an antioxidant,
right.
So you can take it. But you won't have a lot of friends if you do that.
Right, exactly.
So let me go back. I want to grab this right here.
Sure.
And this is just, you know, there's people out there all over the internet that are printing things, and some are, I think, probably more reputable than others. But on one of these, for example, printout that a friend sent me on a website, they said September 1st, huge wave of Neptunian energy will be felt vibrating through Earth. Any issues brought up to on August full moon in Pisces is likely to be felt now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like an accurate statement to
it
you?
It does, because throughout this month, Jupiter and Neptune have been in what we call an opposition to one another. Neptune is this planet, I guess you could call it the planet that is involved with transcendence, i.e. soul level, undefinable, mystical experiences. You can think of it as the collective unconscious of transcending ourselves, of wanting to dissolve the illusion of boundaries between us and other people, endless compassion, artistry, channeling, you know, something from the higher realms through into this world. Jupiter is a planet of idealism, also has to do with intuition, higher truths, spirituality, soul seeking, higher ethics, things like that. When those planets line up and connect in this kind of alignment, it will bring in a lot of compassion. It will bring in a lot of intuitive inspiration. It will also possibly bring in a feeling of disillusionment, feeling confused, having higher ideals, not sure how to live them out, feeling like you need to make sacrifices. How do you live out your ideals without completely sacrificing yourself in an unhealthy way? So yeah, I think as a general statement, and I'll admit I'm guilty of not having my ephemeris with me that shows me the exact planetary outline of everything that's going on. So if you're referencing exact key dates right now, I'm a little bit fuzzy on that. I focused on bringing my eclipse materials in with me. But as a general statement, yeah, that's absolutely true.
Well, and you know, I guess I wanted to talk with you because there's a lot of people that are going to spell doom and gloom right away.
Absolutely.
And that's how they probably make money, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And there are a lot of people that are stuck in that fear vibration right now because they buy into the hype. That's just the radio wavelength, so to speak, that they're tuned into. But we always have a choice to tune into.
Would you agree that we are getting bombarded more and more than ever with all these different things coming to us?
It seems that we are in increasingly pivotal times for the growth of human evolution.
And what is it we can do to make the most out of this? To, you know, these things are affecting us. So what is it, and absorb them? What is the best we can do?
I would say, for one thing, really being honest about what's working in your personal life and what is not. There are a lot of people that are stuck in old patterns of either settling or not being entirely honest with themselves. There are people afraid of contacting their own power, or there's sort of this level of denial, perhaps, about changes that need to be made, whether you know, it's getting real with yourself about your spiritual beliefs or relationships that don't work anymore, dietary changes. There's all, you know, emotional issues that are left unresolved. All kinds of things like that will hold us down. And we always have opportunities, I think, to connect with the divine. It can be as simple as saying, you know, angels, help me out. These are changes I want to make. It can be as simple as, you know, seeking out somebody who is a great intuitive counselor or healer, or, you know, make an appointment with an astrologer to see exactly what your life path is. And, you know, I know that in my astrology and healing arts practice, I do like life coaching with it, essentially, where we take a look at people's life map, so to speak, and see what the higher potentials are, what challenges they might face and blocks they might have to remove, and then putting in this whole synergy of healing energy and discussion and intention setting to really help start to move things through so you can live out your potential. There's many people that are doing this work right now who are legitimate. Mm-hmm. So that these are all just good first steps.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, because I always think about people are listening, they're going, well, okay, if all this stuff is coming to me and the universe is bringing me light, and then we have all the light workers that are bringing light to the planet.
Right.
And so we're getting bombarded with all this light, because this is our time of waking up.
Yeah. And a lot of times, CJ, it won't feel good. And I'm sure that you and I have both, and many others have both experienced, well, you know, you feel like you take two steps forward and all of a sudden you hit this setback. Louise Hay says it best when, you know, her book, You Can Heal Your Life, you know, she talks about how it's a little bit like cleaning the pan that the turkey was in on Thanksgiving. You know, it's sort of like when you start to wash off that caked mess, now you've really got a mess on your hands, but it's a clearing process.
Right.
In order to release and shed that stuff. And we're actually in a really powerful time of shedding these things. You know, Pluto is this planet that has to do with sort of inner catharsis work. It's kind of, for lack of a better term, I guess I don't want to say that. It's like the cosmic dross that has to go within and without ourselves. It is just the waste material in our lives. It's about contacting our inner power. Pluto stands still tomorrow, getting ready to move forward. And it's in this three-part aspect with the planet of the mind and perception, siblings, communication from, you know, like the beginning, I think towards the beginning of September through mid-October. So this is embedded in these eclipse energies too, which has a lot to do with seeing what is not working in relationships, particularly contacting your own power, letting all that other stuff go and moving on. So, you know, if listeners, if you're finding yourselves feeling really locked up and there are things coming to the surface you don't want to deal with, this is just a significant part of the clearing work that we are all doing in different ways right now. It is a clearing and it is temporary. Empowerment is the goal.
Right. Yes. And somebody was saying, you know, with all these energies obviously affecting us, something we can do, one thing we should really do is always maintain, be positive, because our thoughts really are getting amplified a lot more.
Yeah, it's like this manifestation is accelerated right now with the energies. So, but I would also add that what's coming up now, it's like we have to deal with the unpleasant stuff. I think some people, and I'm only making this distinction because people have said it to me in sessions and client work, and I've been here myself. You know, we hear people say, oh, think positive, be positive, and they feel like they have to stuff inner issues and not acknowledge deeper feelings and unpleasant feelings and realities. But that's a key part of moving forward, is saying, you know what, right now things are just terrible. This is what is. It's like that Eckhart Tolle concept of saying, okay, once you accept what is and make peace with what is, not like you're okay with it,
right,
but you can sit with it, you can walk with it, and then the solutions start to present themselves. So don't stuff your feelings, by all means. Be real about it, but use it as a springboard to clear it out to get to the next better feeling place.
And I guess my question really was more of not so much the feeling part, releasing those things, because you have to.
Of course.
But it was about our everyday thoughts.
When
we don't get what we want, or things are not going the way we want. Right. It's so easy. I think all of us have done it, but a lot of people focus on what they don't have.
Sure.
And so, again, if you keep focusing on that, especially now,
you will expand that which you don't want, and the universe will say, okay, are you sure? All right, here you go.
And you keep getting more of it.
Right, exactly. So I do think, you know,
a little more focused thought on what you do want. And if you have things to release from your issues, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to talk about how can you ignore them? Well, I'm trying to be positive here.
Right,
but I just got run over by a bus. But boy, you know what? Those tire marks. What are those? Firestone? Those are nice. Dual tread and everything.
Only you, DJ.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. And then again, true, we can look at things from a different perspective, too. Because eventually, as we heal, we see everything as a great lesson.
Yes.
And we let go of the personal attack, and that's where we're supposed to step away. And why is all this happening now?
Right.
I mean, it's been going on, basically, I'm sure, since we've been here. But but it's really accelerating now.
Absolutely.
And why is that, Jen?
I think it's just a pivotal time for us to really start waking up to make these changes. I think the time is now. You know, this Uranus-Pluto square that we had going on from, you know, the official dates are 2012 through, you know, I believe it was this spring that all wrapped up, but really 2011. You know, like we were talking about before, and people are worried about doomsday prophecies for the completion of this lunar tetrad that's happening with this eclipse on Sunday night. You know, I think that overall the energy was much more volatile on a whole when Uranus moved into Aries on March 11th when the Fukushima plant exploded in Japan.
That was, so how long ago was that now?
That was in
a couple of years
ago? 2011.
Oh, is that long ago?
Yeah.
And so you're saying the energy from, you could see
that. That was more volatile, I would say, as an ongoing influence.
Because there's talk right now that on some of these websites, and I really don't want to land to it, but people might have concerns.
Right.
There's talk that the market could crash. Well, that could crash any day.
Absolutely.
We never know with that.
Right.
And so those could collapse. But they're also saying that governments will reorganize and be more supportive of a conscious movement. And I do believe that that is going on. There are things behind the scenes.
Oh, totally. Especially with Mercury hooking up, Mercury retrograde hooking up with, you know, Pluto right now. And think about it. The Pope is visiting the United States right now. We have all these things. I guarantee you that there is some very deep and heavy negotiation happening behind the scenes, potentially with world leaders and people in positions of power. But I really feel like on the whole the energies, and you know, to be honest, Aries is a very volatile sign in general. It's the warrior. I mean, it is survival impulse. So, you know, like I said, we'll come back to that and break down this eclipse more in a bit. But you know, I really think that even with that being said, it was still an ongoing, more volatile environment with the Uranus-Pluto square that we have just really left that time period. It's like the breaking up of the ground to really start, you know, tilling so we can plant the new seeds of the future. That's the way that I see it. So, you know, I would say too, any world events that do happen that seem catastrophic, I really believe that it is clearing the way.
Absolutely.
Ultimately.
Absolutely.
For a new world. I don't think it's the end of the world, you know, in some horrible destructive way. I think it's the end of the world as we have known it.
People are talking about ascension too.
Of course.
And what is your definition of that?
You're the second person this week that's asked me that, actually.
Because they're saying after the 28th, it's going to be a lot more clear. Because it's not just this light that is affecting us. We are receiving from everything I've done on all the years on this show, and you and I've talked. Mm-hmm. We are beings that have been kind of in the dark on this planet. Mm-hmm. And more light is coming here, which is what we are. And
of course,
it's allowing us to, and many of us are bringing it, and it's allowing us to become more fully what we truly are.
Yes.
And so there are those that are saying after September 28th, some will ascend. Now, what does that even mean?
I think it could definitely be a powerful awakening period for a lot of people. Now, let me be very clear. Eclipse periods, you know, it's not like at the exact moment the eclipse happens, a switch flips on and boom, something happens. It's really much more flowing and flexible than that. You know, we've been in the eclipse period since, 2 weeks before the eclipse in Virgo on the 13th. So really since the beginning of September, we have been in the window of these energies. We'll continue to be in that window through through the middle of October with the new moon in Libra that's coming up. Then that's the official end of this eclipse season. But really, I would say for eclipses like this, especially like the 3 to 4 or so days before and after, you really enter into this powerful time period where there is accelerated light flow. Think of it like cosmic upgrades for our consciousness, for our planet, kind of like the way that a computer would do its updates. Okay, everything shuts down because now it's upgrading. It's a very similar process. So, you know, people, I would say, you know, depending on how other planetary alignments come in and impact sensitive points in people's birth charts, you know, I've had key events happen to me a week and a half after an eclipse that really, it's like the eclipse set the tone and set the stage and the foundation, but then, you know, Mars came along and triggered some other stuff which manifested as an actual event. So on the personal level, don't be afraid of the 27th and the 28th and, you know, all these things that could
end up
happening.
You don't think I should dig a bunker?
Whatever makes you feel better, but no, I really don't.
You know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea for people to stock up on food, don't you think?
Sure. I think that that's just smart emergency
because
preparedness.
Because there may come a day.
There might.
Let's be honest. There may come a day when there may be less of it. There may come a day, and you and I have talked about this not during a show, but we kind of see that there could come a day when things could collapse.
Certainly. And I think self-sufficiency as much as possible is always
and
wise.
And you see many people really starting to wake up to that.
Right. And I think there's more people wanting to live off the grid, to live sustainably, to be more self-sufficient in all these ways. So you're not as dependent on the system if that happens.
Because are they feeling?
Right. Are we feeling the shifting? And I think that from my, in my opinion, and I'm not saying I have any authority on this because I don't. This is my opinion. I feel like we certainly could be moving into that kind of time period. But do I think we should live in the fear vibration? Oh, I better do this because I'm terrified. No, not at all. Because I think that if you are really in the light and you are really connecting in with that and you're really aspiring to grow into your potential on this planet, you will be provided for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
I go back to where I came from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is a big ball of energy.
Just like you.
Just floating around. Hanging around here.
Right.
Maybe I'll contribute to the whole thing.
Oh,
now I can do it in spirit. So, you know, I used to...
How many levels of you are already out there doing that right
That's
now?
A good point. Whoa. Now we're taking even another step. So... people also talk about wars and things. That stuff's going to continue to go on.
Of course.
And eventually, I believe there will be a day when that will be gone.
Yeah, I do think so. My personal opinion.
But it's going to be a gradual transition, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if you look at the state of the world, I mean, and you think of how enmeshed the people in power are and whoever may or may not even be, you know, pulling strings behind that scene, yeah, it's going to be a long extrication process.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that within our individual spheres that we can't live in light and joy and abundance now.
What about this? What do you know about this? And probably it's not covered in astrology, but a lot of people talk about the fifth dimension becoming mm-hmm. part of this planet. Mm-hmm. Like we're kind of phasing and becoming these light-bodied mm-hmm. beings. Mm-hmm. And the fifth dimension is merging with the Earth because the Earth's evolving too, right?
Right, of course. Yeah. It would certainly seem that, you know, people are getting this extrasensory awareness more and more all the time. You know, I've certainly read about their, you know, the possibility of there having been DNA changes over time on this planet. Not to, you know, weird anybody out who's not real familiar with these ideas,
right.
But maybe that came down from other species who had more advanced technology. So, you know, I think that what I will say and tie into astrology is at the time periods when people do wake up, when they do get energetic healing sessions that really level you up, so to speak, or you have these moments where you have these epiphanies or greater intuitive awareness or a shift in perception, eclipses really do bring those basic structural changes, especially if you consciously tune into the energies and make the most of it. Again,
now, when you say consciously, what do you have to do?
Like when you set your intention to do something.
That's all you have to do.
Because intention is everything.
It's everything.
Of course. Now, you know, by default, again, some people are going to feel these effects way more. Mm-hmm. Just by default, if you have your sun at, you know, 28 degrees of Aries and you don't have any personal planets in and around 4 degrees of Aries or Libra right now, you know, depending on, you know, let's assume there's no other planets there, you are not going to feel that exact lunar eclipse effect of this event as strongly as somebody who has a planet at, let's say, you know, 3, 4, or 5 degrees of Aries or Libra. Those people are really going to be rocked by this, not necessarily in a bad way, but there are definitely going to be life changes.
See, you're saying,
without a doubt,
you're saying things I have no idea what you're coming out of your mouth. 3, 4, 5 degrees, what is that? 3, 4, 5 degrees
within each zodiac sign. I'm glad you asked. Within each zodiac sign, there are essentially, you know, 30 degrees, 0 through 29.99999, where, you know, planets and, you know, personal points can exist anywhere within that spectrum. So when you're born, you know, there aren't always planets in every sign, but every planet is somewhere in a sign and in a part of the birth chart. For example, when I was born, the Sun and Neptune were both at 28 degrees of Sagittarius. So, you know, there's like this sliding scale spectrum. And, you know, you think about it, if, you know, there's an event that happens in your physical environment, but it's yards away, versus an event that happens and you are standing within feet, you are going to be more directly impacted by the energies the closer that it is to you. It's the same concept with astrological events as they approach sensitive points in the birth chart. Mm-hmm. Does that make more
yes,
sense?
Yes, it makes more sense.
And it's nice to have a visual, too.
Yeah.
So,
but she didn't bring her visual.
Well, I did. If you want to look at it, you're,
no,
you're
that's
free
okay.
to do it.
I'm just, so, okay, so now we pretty much dispelled, and who knows? Maybe we none of us will be here after the 28th. So be it. You know, you can't sit
That's
and worry
about it. That's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, you know, you can't worry about it.
No.
You can't worry about something that doesn't is may or may not happen. And maybe there are countries that will go to war. And maybe
absolutely. And a lot of that, I will add, depends on the horoscope of that particular country, of the leaders of that nation. Because these astrological influences are at work all the time. And I don't do that branch of astrology as much as others. I work more on the...
And not
personal,
only, and
level,
when you look at that too, we always have a choice.
Yes, absolutely.
So just because it may look like it's going to be something, mm-hmm. as we evolve as beings,
yes.
and that means fill ourselves more with love mm-hmm. and return to love mm-hmm. and light, then those events will be less and less.
And I was thinking about this actually before I came in for the podcast, how I could explain this in a way that, you know, maybe you and others could really understand. We meet life and perceive life events where we are at our personal level of growth and perception and evolution. So a lot of people, I think, are afraid to get closer to astrology because they think, well, you know, what are the planets doing to me? Like, oh, it's the planets doing something to me. It's not that way at all. And I'll back up and give you a bit of like a cosmic astrology lesson here just to lay some foundations. From my personal perspective, if we are souls and spirits in a body that come here to live on this physical plane to learn these lessons, as Abraham would say, to experience heightened contrast, there it only makes sense that there would have to be some kind of physical bodies or physical manifestation of that energy that would then influence when we choose to come in and incarnate, that would shape our psychology and our energies and who we become in the most basic sense. That is the role the planetary alignments play in our lives. So when you look at a birth chart, you can see that. You can see, oh, right, this is what I came into for whatever reason. And people have a choice how they're going to embody their birth chart or their energies and their life path, so to speak. You know, you can have all the potential in the world in a birth chart configuration and not activate it, or have some people that activate their potential and live it out much, much more. You have to make the conscious choice to do it. So in that sense, when an astrological event happens, some people are going to be totally thrown off and are really going to struggle, and they might go into blame or guilt or depression or feelings of shame and things, which it's not necessarily bad. And I'm not saying it's bad. I think moving through those things is a key part of growth, and you are where you are. And Source, I don't think, has any judgment towards us
No.
for that. But, you know, as we learn to shed those things, these astrological events and influences, we perceive them differently. And I'm saying this from my own personal growth and evolution, and, you know, the way that I've observed me shifting and changing over time, as well as others. You know, it's always an opportunity It is always an opportunity. And what might be, you know, a catastrophic, you know, Saturn transit for one person where it's like they go to jail and they have, you know, lawsuits or bankruptcy or whatever, somebody else would be really honing in and solidifying how they make money, what they do with their investments, how they build a foundation of wealth and solidity for themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I hope that kind of quells some of
the fears.
There's
other factors too, don't you think?
Oh, sure.
Because you have to... I would say also, you know, we have this divine plan when we mm-hmm. come here.
Right.
So part of that plays into it.
But it's always malleable. In the most basic sense, you are who you are. But within the framework of who you can always grow and evolve. And the potential is limitless.
And then we also, don't you think, have to look at, well, some of us are bringing baggage from another time.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different factors that weigh into this mm-hmm. big, complex...
And we see that in the birth chart also.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Absolutely, yes.
And then what about multidimensional things? How do you feel about that? Like there's many gens playing out many roles.
There sure could be. I kind of lean towards that.
So how does that affect it?
I don't see how it couldn't affect it. And I think any good, you know, clearing and ascension work that we do here... will ripple throughout all of time and space and creation. So any good move, or quote unquote good, I don't mean to use good and bad language, but any positive right. shifts that we make now can only have a positive impact.
Because this is another thing too that I take into consideration, and I wouldn't have thought about this, but I read something about it and heard something about it, that we can do all the things we want here to clear things out mm-hmm. in this present life. Mm-hmm. We can go back and look at our past lives and clear that out. And then we're still stuck and nothing's happening. And so some have said that it's because all these other parts of ourselves that are playing out in these other places, mm-hmm. they have to kind of be on board. Mm-hmm. And so when one of you makes a change, it can have a ripple effect for the rest of them.
That could very well be. And I think... you know, if that's something you or others have on your mind, you can always ask, like, let's say you're doing energetic or clearing work or setting intentions, you can always ask that those changes be enacted in all directions of time and
you
in
make
all
it
ways.
Sound like
and act, ask your guardian angels and guides into that process.
You make it sound like we are, like, in total control of all this. Hmm?
I think in the most fundamental level, we absolutely are.
Like we can really change things.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is evolutionary astrology that I practice. It is astrology from the perspective of us being totally empowered in every moment. Within realizing, okay, here are my limitations, but you can always do something.
If people were listening earlier, Jen brought up the name Abraham. Mm-hmm. And Abraham is the entity that is channeled by...
Esther Hicks.
Mm-hmm. And that is the one that literally kind of opened the door for the movie The Secret.
Right.
A lot of is based on that. So you talk about Abraham. Obviously, you follow a lot of Abraham's things. But Abraham,
at least on a general level, right, the concept.
A lot of what he says is the law of attraction, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what you're talking about. We've mm-hmm. been talking about here. Mm-hmm. So let's find out more about these eclipses. I know you're a busy woman with many things going on now.
Right.
So, and we could promote some of that too, but... we'll talk about the eclipse and then we'll move on to those other things.
Sure. Well, one interesting thing about this eclipse, this is the fourth total eclipse in a row, which is why it's called a tetrad. This is part of the reason why some people are a little bit up in arms and feeling a little bit paranoid. Like, oh, it's a culmination of a process that started in April 2014 and it's a blood moon. Is it the end? Well, no, it's not. But I do think that probably, you know, if you think back to what you had going on, each of you in, you know, April of 2014 and where you were, the general themes that were up then, anything you were starting or initiating then and where you are now, there will probably be at least a general level correlation with what's going on. There will be some kind of wrap up or culmination of that process. This is also a supermoon, meaning that the moon will be at its closest point of orbit to the Earth for this eclipse. So it's going to appear much, much larger, which really does heighten the emotional impact that an eclipse will have. Because, you know, again, the moon has a very tangible pull on all of the planet physically, and it will do so emotionally also. Mm-hmm. So you've got that plus this, you know, incredible visual of the red tint that it will have. So yeah, just to put it out there specifically, this is an Aries total lunar blood moon supermoon eclipse. That's a mouthful. I don't know, some facts for anybody who's interested. This is the first supermoon eclipse since 1982. This will be the last one until 2033. Now that is significant. I think.
Do you think anything, was there anything around 1982 that happened?
I would have to go back and check.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and see. That 19, would be a good point for research.
1982.
I wasn't quite born yet, but I can certainly go back and check it out in the ephemeris. Yeah, for sure. And there have been eight tetrads this century. Okay, so again, this is where people are getting up in arms about this whole completion of a four-part, you know, full lunar eclipse. Don't do it. Don't buy the hype.
Yeah. People are trying to sell books.
They're trying to sell fear to get you to... Yes, don't
And
buy
we also
it.
Know that the Earth is kind of run by fear.
Yeah,
that
at this
we
point,
are When we live shifting. In fear... Mm-hmm. We're actually feeding beings, I believe, you and I have talked, I don't know how you feel about it, but we kind of came to this agreement that there are beings that literally feed off of fear.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And
so,
I think so they're kind of the ones that manipulate a lot of what goes on.
And whether or not there were, okay, let's just say hypothetically, some people don't see it that way, okay? Energies that you put out or that anyone puts out, once something is created, energetically, you cannot destroy it. It has to be transmuted into something more positive. So if you think about the negative events that do happen on Earth and all this energy just builds and builds and builds, it's this heaviness, and it really would create or lend towards the creating of events that really mimic those energies. So the more we can do, again, to heal and clear out ourselves, to do good work in the world, we have the opportunity to transmute that in a very real way.
What about the more we also learn to love ourselves and others as well?
That is the key. Self-love, I believe, is the foundation for making healthy life changes in every way.
Is that what all of this you think is teaching?
Oh, always. Always. And that you are one with Source and you are worthy of the very best. And this, you know, that's actually a really good segue into this particular full moon eclipse. You know, this really is about healthy self-interest. This, you know, Aries is, you know, the need to be independent and to go your own way, regardless of what other people or relationship partners in relation to a job, a person, anyone, anything. Aries is all about cultivating the courage to do that. So, you know, at a lunar eclipse, the Earth stands between the Sun and the Moon. One astrologer, I think, I forget her name, Molly's Astrology out in Colorado, she wrote a really great article about this where she made the analogy. It's like the rope. You can think of it like a rope between the Sun and the Moon. They're in this continuous dance with one another, and that creates the phases of the Moon. It's like she says, when you have an eclipse, a lunar eclipse, the rope drops. And all parties have this opportunity to review things exactly as they are. And a lot of times at a lunar eclipse, we are faced with things that we've either been avoiding or not quite seeing clearly. You know, the moon is the, like, unconscious habit patterns and things that we do like that. It's a lot of times it happens at eclipses for people who are directly impacted by it. It is a very unavoidable set of circumstances that will crop up that gets you facing things whether you feel ready or want to or not. This is just very common. It's almost like you're shown the path and just see clearly there's just no other way. Now, sometimes people would maybe choose to go against that, but a lot of times people feel a strong enough impulse to start making changes, whatever
that is. Is there potential for more chaos because of that?
Of course there will be. And for this one especially, you know, there, you know, a key theme that I see, and I'll kind of break this down a little bit for you. Mars is the planet that rules Aries. Mars is about self-assertion, aggression, drive. It is the male energy, getting things done. Impulse, you know, it can be destruction. Like we have, I think, an overload of masculine energy in the world right now that is running rampant, destroying the Earth, wars, that kind of chaos. But, you know, if without Mars, we wouldn't get anything done, and we wouldn't care about ourselves, and we wouldn't stand our ground. So Mars is going to be squaring off with Saturn. So they're in this blocked aspect, and Saturn is this planet that creates blockages. It creates resistance. It's actually the planet of teaching us how to manifest in the physical world. So anytime you have Saturn involved in the picture, there is a need to put on your reality glasses, so to speak, and look at things exactly as they are. When you have Mars and Saturn squaring, it will show you exactly where the blockages are. It's an opportunity to really go within yourself, soul search on where your fears are. I believe inner fear blocks us more than anything. Fear of what people will think, fear of lack, fear of restrictions, fear of, you know, not having needs met, right? All these things. So Mars squaring with Saturn will show exactly where the impediments are. Because eclipses set the tone for the next 6 months, this will show, this really indicates to me that there are going to be a lot of people that are going to see the path to freedom for themselves, but there will definitely be obstacles in the way that will have to be cleared. And it will not necessarily be an easy process, but there is a need for endurance, for follow through. There is a need for just staying on course and really cultivating courage.
People say you need to be grounded too through all these
things. Oh, totally. That's very important.
And what do you do to be grounded?
Time in nature really grounds me. You know, I have a lot of energy, so I work out every day. I have to blow some of that frenetic, my own fireball sort of thing I got going on here.
She's spunky, I'll tell you that. She's real spunky.
But the more that I pay attention to my feet, I find, physical touch senses, you know, feet in the sand, anything that connects me with earth energies more directly.
What if you can't get out at certain times of the year, maybe?
You can always connect with the earth in different ways. Let's say you have access to stones. It can be as simple as soaking your feet in an Epsom salt bath, doing a foot massage, doing anything that contacts you in with your root chakra. Massage, getting a massage, giving a massage. There are all kinds of great root chakra meditations, you know, things that feel good on the skin, that put you in touch with your body senses, sensual touch, oils. You know, there's just so many things that can be done. One thing that my acupuncturist and others have said is eating grounding foods. You know, Chinese medicine would deem grounding foods like the things that grow underground, like beets, carrots,
chicken.
Yeah, chicken. That wasn't so much going in that direction, but root vegetables, things like that, soups, anything that can put you more in touch with earth energies. Put your hand in soil. Meditate on what soil feels like. You don't have to be in the woods to connect with the essence of it.
And why is it, for people maybe that aren't familiar with this, why is it important to be connected to earth energies?
Because we are physical form and spirit in equal measure. And if we want to have a true balance between both worlds, which I do believe we're in the process of merging, you need to be in both spaces and find a way for your physical vessel to channel that out. I mean, it's easy to get really, you know, uprooted and in your headspace, so to speak. But if you pay attention, you know, eat well, pay attention to your body, do what your body's calling for, get in your feet, get out of your head, quiet the mind, you will be a much clearer channel for these things.
Might want to drink a fair amount of water, too.
Absolutely. Hydration is very important.
Especially when we go through these eclipses.
Yeah, lots of fruits and vegetables. And if you're having a hard time sleeping, A, recognize that it's just kind of how it is. Don't try to fight it. B, there's great natural things you can do for a sleep aid, like lavender oil or, you know, chamomile tea or valerian or, you know, relaxing, soothing music at night. Some of the different wavelengths. TJ, you know a little bit more about the healing wavelengths and what hurts they are than I do. But there's just so many things you can do. Take a walk underneath the moonlight. Even in a full moon, if you're feeling agitated or stressed or things are coming to a head, you're having a hard time sleeping, the light of the moon itself is actually incredibly soothing and balancing. I found that to be very helpful.
I agree
me.
With you. That is very powerful.
Yeah. And we, who knows why, but it's that energy flow. It's like
that
you're bathing in
it. And you're connecting to the cosmos.
And we are made of star stuff. Carl Sagan was right. We are made of stars. So yeah, we are one with that.
Anything else you want to add? Because that covered pretty much everything.
I would say that's it. Just, you know, those of you who have, if you know your birth charts, if you've got personal planets between 3 to 5 degrees of Aries or Libra, you will feel this most directly. Don't be afraid to ask yourself what it is you want. And don't be afraid of taking long-term action to look out for your own best interests and carve out your path to independence, whether it's money blocking your relationships. Just be honest with yourself. Be open to the flow of events as they unfold over the next couple of weeks, especially between, I would say, Saturday and next Tuesday or Wednesday. And, you know, if you need some extra support in the way of energetic healing or massages or an astrology session you feel will be beneficial, you know, you can go ahead and seek that out. There are many legitimate practitioners here to support you through these
changes. Somebody wants to contact you, you don't want them to do that, right?
Oh, no, that'd be great. I'm never wanting people to contact me if they don't feel called to do that. But absolutely, I am here.
But she doesn't want you to get a hold of her.
for you to get a hold of me. Absolutely.
Don't go to our website. Now, don't go. Hey, don't. Sometimes you got to use reverse.
Sometimes I'm a little too humble for my own good, brother.
So whatever you do, don't go to the website, which I have listed on the page here. Otherwise, they can find you on Facebook.
I do pretty regular Facebook updates with astrology on my page on there. It's a community page, Bright Star Astrology and Healing Arts. Website is brightstarastro.com. You could also send me an email at jlastnamehowell, H-O-W-E-L-L, 1221 at gmail.com. And I really would love to hear from you and assist you in any way with these changes that you're going through.
Thank you for coming in on short notice. I really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. It's been great. Thank you.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.